Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Joe WQAM presents the Riptide Music Festival, powered by Ford Broward County's 2019 signature event. It's coming to Fort Lauderdale Beach November 23rd and 24th. This year's event is headlined by multi-platinum recording artist The Killers, also appearing in the 1975 Real Big Fish, Soul Asylum, and many, many more. Limited number of early bird two-day GA tickets still on sale at WQAM.com for $59, and also a limited number of two-day early bird VIP tickets are on sale for $99. Early bird tickets are on sale until supplies last. It's Riptide Fest, powered by Ford. You can get all the details right here, WQAM.com.
All right, so we haven't gotten to some of the other stuff. We've been a little stuck on Green Bay and Chicago and no preseason, and that's what you get and everything else. A 10-3 win last night for Green Bay Packers. By the way, great road win for them. And the Antonio Brown Raider drama that is going on, and whether he's going to get suspended or he's done or he's going to play or whatever might happen, I'm guessing today or tomorrow we'll find out about that. Quietly, some other stories going on. Louis Riddick, who I happen to like.
I think Louis Riddick.
I think he's really good on TV. Yeah. He's an ESPN analyst. I guess he's been in the front office of some NFL teams. Came out and was pretty critical of the Miami Dolphins and setting up Josh Rosen for failure. Well, you know, with not putting anything around him, which I don't totally disagree. I don't. It's hard to look good when you don't have a little bit around you. And for me, not the receiver or running back position, but the offensive line. It just hasn't played for a while. But then he went into poor Brian Flores being put in an impossible situation. And I was like, well, Lewis, you might want to find out what's going on here. There's no poor Brian Flores. Brian Flores calling a lot of these shots.
Right, exactly.
Like, Chris Greer's made it pretty clear he wants to keep his coaches happy. And, yeah, he's got input on what this thing needs. Maybe sometimes we need Chris to even be like, no, I did that with the last coach. No, we're not doing that. But Brian Flores calling a lot of these shots on what he's doing with this team.
Of course, I agree with that.
So Lewis might want to do a little bit more homework before he decides on that. I don't disagree about Josh Rosen. That's a good point. Totally agree. Setting the guy up for failure is never going to have an opportunity to show us what he has.
No, and his tweet, I'll read you his tweet. Josh Rosen cannot have asked for a more poop start to his career from an organizational support standpoint. I don't care if you like the kid or not. Personally, he's been set up to fail. Nice job, and then a unhappy face.
Right. So that's been his take, but he was also, you know, talking about poor Brian Flores. Look at what – no, there's no poor Brian Flores. Brian Flores is in – or the lead dog in a lot of these decisions being made.
Right. Chris Greer's not making these decisions without Brian
Flores. They didn't have to go to that extra tier of tearing this thing apart, right. And they decided it was best to do. So the two ones and the two, which we beat to death over the last few days. And speaking of that, and staying with ESPN for just a second, who now we're on ESPN, Steve Young had a really interesting take on the start of the season last night after the game. Woody, can you play that for us?
I'm like a broken record, Scott. I mean, this is the preseason,
yep.
And now that they've actually given up on the preseason, I mean, Aaron Rodgers didn't even take the field.
Yeah.
Coaches are just not going to put people at risk. And so the first month of the season in September is preseason. Football in the end is glorified choreography. It's a dance step, especially offensively. And the more times you do it, the better you get. And so as the season wears on, everybody gets into the gels and tries to get it. I don't want to read too much. There's things you can read today. Uh-huh. Mitch Trubisky's play is a little concerning. But, you know, more than anything, it's the preseason. And if you can get some wins in September, all the better for you.
One of the dumbest takes
Wow.
all time by a guy that played in the league. I know he had a lot of concussions, by the way, a lot, before. I guess they were concussions when he played because he used to get knocked out. He didn't know what day it was.
Right, yeah.
But this thing is ridiculous. Like, when did September become not that important to winning about winning games?
Can I ask you the obvious question? If you win a game in September and you win a game in December, it's the same win, right? It's still in the win total in the column? And if you lose a game in September and you lose a game in December, it's still an L in your win-loss column? Why would the September month of wins and losses be not that big of a deal? Think about the teams, and Dolphins have been one of those teams where you go into week 17 with a win or a loss to make the playoffs or not. Like, and then you go back to that September game that Steve Young's talking about where, it's not a big deal you lost that game. Yes, it is.
Well,
the hell's wrong with Steve Young?
There's only 16 games in a season. To say that the first three or four aren't important is really one of the dumbest takes I've ever heard in calling it preseason football. Well, then you need to do more in August if September's preseason football, because your ass needs to win that game. I know everybody says a long season. Ain't that long a season. It's 16 games. Steve Young, one of the dumbest takes I've ever heard him. You know, and I know he says a lot, and I know he's won a Super Bowl. He won a Super Bowl down here, and I got to see that, and, you know, and everything else. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, get what you can in September, but understand. I mean, I agree it's not going to be great, but you got to be good enough. Well, I'll tell you what, I'd love to hear him say Don Shula, who used to, like, grind and, like, hey, we got two games or three games early at the Orange Bowl. It's going to be friggin' hot. They're all 1 o'clock games. We're going to be in great shape. And if it's tight at halftime, it won't be in the second half because we're going to wear their ass down. And by the way, fans have seen it where guys are just sucking gas coming from other places. But to make it sound like September's no longer important, this ain't baseball.
No.
Ain't even hockey and basketball.
Stupid take.
Yeah. So
dumb take from Steve Young there. I just don't understand that. It doesn't make any sense what he said. Oh, yeah, you get a couple wins in here, we lost. Oh, you know, you get what you can. No! It's the regular season. It's not the preseason. I know it looked like preseason football last night for a little bit, especially with both those offenses.
It didn't look like it defensively. They got
defensively is fine. But guess what? Today, in the standings, Green Bay's got a win and Bears have a loss.
That's right.
That's it.
Home loss.
A home loss with 15 left to go. Not 161 games left. 15 left to go. The Bears, if at the end of the season, are a playoff team looking for home field advantage or not, and they go back to this loss, Steve Young's not going to count it? Like, give me a break.
Well, this goes back to the whole importance of preseason. And I agree, you don't need to play the amount of preseason they played a long time ago, or going back before preseason games, the way we treat them before guys started making all this money, and the franchise quarterback needs to be protected. Franchise players need to be protected. So now we had a record amount of players not playing preseason this year. Like, it's your job, whatever it is, that you got to keep them. It's your job as a head coach to get them enough work, however, so that they're ready to go and September counts. That's it. And Aaron Rodgers can say whatever he want. That game could have easily been 3-3 and still be playing it, because Aaron Rodgers' touchdown pass, he threw that up. If anybody else in the league throws that, they're getting ripped for throwing it into coverage. And, I mean, what the hell was that? There were guys all around the tight end last night that ends up making – Jimmy Graham ends up making that touchdown catch. That was terrible. That was brutal. So – anyway, interesting for everybody last night with everything going on, and of course the Antonio Brown story, and everybody's going to have an opinion on what's going on and how it should be handled. I thought about it. I was driving in today, and I said, you know what, this thing's getting old. The guaranteed money, they built this around them. They stuck their neck out. They have no choice, in my opinion, but to make this work out. They have to. So Gruden, Mayock, it's going to look bad. It's going to be a bad look for them. They need to suck it up. And hell, while you're sucking up, let him play Monday night. Let him play all. And I don't have a fantasy football team or him on my fantasy football team. But let him play. Go out there and throw him. He'll be happy. Well, 10. Now you're going to get the same thing. He ain't changing the rest of the season. Don't think all of a sudden he's going to every meeting, going to be on time, and all of a sudden he's going to do something he hasn't done the last 3 or 4 years. But if you're willing to accept that, which you had to know, because if you traded for that and didn't know, you're a real dumbass.
Sure, sure.
Like, apparently, and the fraternity of 32 teams.
They talk.
Oh.
Come on, they talk.
Everybody's got somebody they work with on another team to go, stay away, man. He's a bad dude.
Well, Drew Rosenhaus made the rounds last night. Let's hear a little bit of Drew Rosenhaus from yesterday.
Not a lot is clear yet, other than that the Raiders said that AB should stay home today. They're trying to work through the relationship with him. We haven't heard anything about a potential decision yet. I've been in touch with John Gruden, Mike Mayock from the Raiders, of course Antonio, and we're trying to work through this. The goal is really to work everything out. I know there's been a lot of speculation. There's always two sides to every story.
Oh, God.
People have a tendency to blow things out of proportion. My job is to bring everything back, try and get things worked out. That's what I'm working on right now. And I am in touch with the Raiders. Nothing is final. We're still attempting to bring everybody back into the fold. That's really up to the Raiders. My hope is there won't be a suspension. I'm not aware of any as of yet. That's their decision. I'm working with them to try and avoid that scenario.
So Antonio Brown keeps blowing things up everywhere he is.
Two sides to the story.
Calls his agent as he leaves, or is asked to leave, and now they got to decide what to do. Like, hey, Drew, I got a question for you. If I'm John Gruden, can you guarantee me, like, he'll be on time, be at everything, and we can count on him the rest of the year?
No.
Can you guarantee, will you put checks on your own money that he can do that?
No chance. No chance. Can't do that.
Antonio's because so far we have – I don't even know if he – they got to be saying to themselves, we don't even know if he wants to play. Like, he blew up on the GM in front of everybody.
Right.
We saw it the day before, by the way. That video told the whole story. He caught a pass, threw it in the fence, went over and started getting into it with a trainer over there about things. And like he's upset, got a $54,000 fine, which, by the way, we need to buy Antonio Brown one of those mirrors. They don't just go around giving people a $54,000 fine.
You do something.
You got to really F
right,
up.
Right.
Not mess up. I mean, F
come
up.
On.
F up's a little worse than a mess up.
Yeah.
God, I effed up on that one.
Wow, we messed up.
Messing up. Yeah, that was a bad one. We got to go to break here, man. We've got a lot more stuff to get to here this morning. We're waiting on Jay Feely, trying to track him down. We know he's in South Florida.
Okay. Golf course?
No, I don't think so. I think it's work today.
Okay.
Friday, though. Could be.
Could be a golf course.
But he's up. But we'll track him down.
Maybe he's on the 12th hole.
We'll keep tracking him down. Don Bailey Jr., we didn't forget, Miami's got a big, big game against North Carolina coming up. A coastal game, two freshman quarterbacks going at it. That's going to be fun, and then we'll finish it up. Mike Florio will join us a little bit later.
Some interesting
By the
stuff.
Way, Flo's hit it big, man. Last night, he and Chris Sims doing all the NBC stuff. He's turned into a rock star, man.
He was a blogger at one point. That pro football talk.
I don't know what he is, man,
website.
But NFL, the pro football talk and what he's done is one of the greatest.
It is. So you can finish that sentence. One of the greatest media business stories of all time. We've ever had. All right, Jay Feely is going to join us here in just a second. Dolphins and Ravens coming up this weekend. Dolphins Injury Report brought to you by University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute, now at the Lennar Foundation Medical Center in Coral Gables. Recover your game. Visit uhealthsportsmedicine.com. Limited in practice was Danny Isadora, Bobby McCain, Andrew Van Ginkel, Albert Wilson. John Jenkins was on the injury report, but Thursday participation was just kind of left blank. And let's see what else. Trent Harris again did not practice, and Charles Harris was a full participant.
We need everybody, man.
Right.
We can't have anybody on there. We need everybody.
Right. But joining us now, the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline friend of the show, Jay Feely, who is well known for not just his stuff on TV or being a kicker in the NFL, but for being the only guest we've ever had to walk out of the Dolphins facility, call us 30 seconds after he got cut years ago. That's why we love Jay Feely. Very honest with us, and we love him there.
Was that Jeff Ireland, that jack off? Was that who that was, Jay? Was it somebody different?
It was that crew. Yeah, it was that crew.
That punk.
Hey, I think it really came from Parcells, but.
All right. How you doing, Jay? How you been, man?
I am really good. How are you guys?
We're hanging in there.
Joe,
I kind of expected they were going to sign you. They signed so many guys at the beginning.
No,
of the
but
week.
They're all young. they're all young. That was the difference. All right, so you've been around this league a long time. 31 new players. Hell, there's been like 10 since right there at the 53-man cuts were being made
this week.
Wow.
Yeah.
What'd you think?
It's unbelievable.
Ever seen anything like it?
Never. No, I mean, to turn over a quarter of your roster the first week of the season, you know, right after cuts is something that's never happened before. And to have 31 guys that, you know, the transition, normally you have about a third of the roster churned each year on most teams.
Right.
You know, so you knew there were going to be changes. You knew that Brian Flores was going to come in and implement, you know, this New England mantra and find the guys that he wanted, but you didn't know it was going to be that dramatic. But I do think there's things that they had to do. You know, when you look at the deal, and you never want to get rid of a player like Tunsil, but when you look at what they got for him, you have to make that move. You know, you can't afford to not get two first-round picks and a second-round pick.
Yeah.
You know, you're building for the future, and that's the staple of doing that. You know, and I think it's difficult as a player, but the reality is, and Joe, you know this better than anybody, it's your job to go in there and play. And your job to go in there and to not make excuses and to play as hard as you can. At the end of the day, each guy is going to be judged individually. You know, you're there collectively as a group and as a team, and you got to be committed to that team, but you're going to be judged individually at the end of the season, and you have to take that approach.
Oh, I agree. I don't think there's any revolt or anything like that. I think guys are going, damn, we got to play together, and individually we need to be good because I want to stay in this league and keep playing.
Right.
I'm totally with you. By the way, I want to ask you about a unique one that probably for me, I wouldn't have made the move is John Denny because I know how important those snappers are to kickers and punters. What do you think about John Denny, who's been so good for so long? What do you think about that move?
I was really surprised because, you know, he's a great leader. He's a guy who does everything you want. He's an incredibly hard worker. He still was snapping at an extremely high level. You know, there wasn't this big drop off by any means. You know, and it's really hard on an operation, you know, between a kicker and the holder. If you get a new snapper, it can throw everything off. And when you've made so many changes and you know you're going to play close games, you're hoping to play close games, you want that operation to be as good as possible and your kicker to make every field goal he gets the chance to make. So that's tough on Jason Sanders for sure.
Jay, in the offseason, you traded 2 and a 5 for Rosen, bring him over from Arizona. Fitzpatrick now on this team as well. They signed him before that trade. At this point, wouldn't you just put Rosen in there, even if he was a little bit behind where Fitzpatrick was, just to see what you got out of it and not wait? You know, let him sink or swim, and if he sinks, you put Fitzpatrick in. It's kind of a waste of a season anyway when you're kind of tanking.
Well, it's certainly, you know, at some point this season, you have to see what Josh Rosen has, and you have to go into the draft next year knowing whether or not you have that quarterback of the future on your roster right now. But if you look at the first 4 games of the season – and you look at how tough that is. You know, you sit there and you say, okay, we're going to play the Ravens, then we're going to play the Patriots, Cowboys, and then we're going to play the Chargers. Now, those first 4 games are brutal. And then you have a bye week. There's a natural progression there. Hey, let's have our veteran in there, the guy who has learned the system better, who's started for 8 teams, who knows how to go out there and play, and knows how to play in situations like this because he's done it before. And let's have him carry us as much as he can probably those first 4 games at least, and then it'd be a natural break to then say, okay, hey, if we need to make a change, that's the time where we have a bye week and we can make a change to Josh Rosen and see what he's got. You do have to see at some point what he has and know whether or not he's your guy.
Jay, I will say one thing about Ryan Fitzpatrick, and I know you've been around him, and he actually lives out where you do in Arizona.
Yeah,
that guy's one of the greatest I've never seen during this preseason the way guys – The young guys are always looking at him, like, and the older guys hang out with him. And I'm talking black guys, white guys. It's unbelievable for a guy came in. It's like Chad Pennington, like way he comes in, and guys love being around that guy.
Yeah, he's like a chameleon because he can go into every locker room, every team, and that's how everybody feels about him. Everybody loves him. You know, he galvanizes a team. You know, and he goes in there and you know, I always feel like he plays above his skill set. You know, I mean, especially you look at last year and they start 2-0 and he throws for over 400 yards each game. And, you know, you're amazed at his age. He can go in there
right.
And still keep doing that. And yet he does. And, you know, that's just a credit to him because it's not an easy job to be this gun for hire and to go into 8 different teams and play quarterback and have the moxie to go in there and the energy to go into a locker room and have those guys believe in you. Like, you got to invest and put yourself in there, and to keep doing that again and again and again in new situations is tough. And, you know, he's been able to do that, and that's really a credit to him.
Jay, are we getting closer to calling this Antonio Brown situation the craziest NFL story we've seen in a decade or so or
Jay
more?
Jay can't top this. There's no way you can top Antonio Brown's
story. I mean,
story.
It's just
can
ridiculous.
No, but I still think about T.O. doing sit-ups on his driveway.
That was classic.
That was classic.
But this has got like 4 parts to it, Jay. This thing is like, try this one.
And it's so absurd because he's so good. Like, just go out there and play. You know, like, I don't know. I mean, it just, you know, he's a different dude. I've met him, you know, and sometimes when you're, you know, you're narcissistic and you think everything in the world revolves around you, you do dumb things, you know, and that's what he's doing.
Would you keep him? I've been saying I'm just going to let him play. I already made the deal. I'm going to let him play and tell him, Mike, we're going to put up with some crap the rest of the year. He's going to be late for meetings, but he's going to help us win games. So let's just go with it. Can you do that or no?
That's what the Steelers did, you know, and they got to the point where they said, okay, we can't deal with this anymore. And, you know, you can't undermine your locker room, but you're right. Like, if he's going to you nip it in the bud right now, you suspend him, you say, okay, you can't do this stuff anymore. But how is he going to come back? How
right,
is he going to respond
right,
to that?
Right.
You know, is he going to be mad and angry and, you know, just throw fits all the time? And I don't know. It's so hard.
But,
and you just, I don't get it. I don't ever understand why NFL players aren't appreciative of the opportunity they have and the money they make. Because get in the real world for a little bit, and they're going to wish they could be back and do things a whole lot different.
Yeah, getting those game checks on Tuesdays,
you know,
or whatever.
Antonio Brown, 33 years old, he's done. Like, he's got all the money he needs.
Right.
He comes back, waits for the Hall of Fame call, and enjoys himself.
They could suspend him and try to get that $30 million guarantee back right now.
Yeah, that's what's so crazy.
But, Jay, you and Joe both been in locker rooms, and I understand that. But if you have a guy in your team who basically threatened to knock out your GM, has been a problem child since he got there, frostbite in his feet, doesn't want to play because of the helmet, leaves practice when he wants. I mean, at a certain point, other guys in the locker room are going to say, well, I mean, I'm a pretty good player too. I'm not an Antonio Brown superstar player, but if he can get away with all this, I can miss a couple meetings too.
I don't know if a lot of guys think that way. Do
I don't either.
Yeah.
I'm with you, Joe. I mean, let's be honest. I think every team I've been on ever, there was somebody who wanted to knock out the GM or the coach or somebody like that. I mean, you always had players like that. And if he goes out and he catches, you know, 10 balls for 150 yards in the first week for the first time he plays, nobody's going to care. Like,
That's right.
All right, great. Just go out there and help us.
Does this story have Bill Belichick at the end written all over this? So somehow Antonio Brown gets out of Oakland and New England picks him up?
There's no chance.
Yeah, I
just see a lot of people writing about that now going,
know,
this has got Belichick written all over it.
Yeah, all of a sudden he's a good soldier with Belichick.
Right,
I don't think so, man. I don't think he can change
this guy. Randy Moss kind of did it. It's not as bad as this Antonio Brown situation, but Randy Moss went out to Oakland, then he went to all these places.
We do forget that Randy Moss had a little dog in him before
he got to
New England.
And he did, and there was a number of other guys who've done it too up there in New England.
By the way, how about Keyshawn Johnson on TV talking about this? There's a guy that should really be talking about getting kicked off John Gruden's team, right?
Right.
Oh, man. Hey, I want to ask you about Lamar Jackson real quickly before we forget. We're going to see they're talking about Lamar Jackson running the football a lot. I mean, he ran it, what, like 147 times, and most of those in like 6 or 7 games. Can he hold up? I mean, there's no question he can run that read option, and they're going to be able to run the ball. But how long before the best tacklers in the world finally get him?
It's fascinating. The two offenses that I can't wait to see this year are the Ravens offense with Lamar Jackson and the Cardinals offense, that air raid, you know, out in Arizona with Kyler Murray, and see how they actually come to fruition. I mean, this is an offense. I think this Ravens team is going to be a lot better than people think. I think they're going to be able to run the ball really effectively, and Lamar Jackson is going to become better as a quarterback throwing the ball. But that is the big key, you know, and that'll be the key out in Arizona too with Kyler Murray. Can they stay healthy? Can these guys continue to take hits? Because you're right, Joe. John Harbaugh said, hey, we expect him to run the ball over 140 times this year. Well, Cam Newton has the NFL record for quarterback rushing attempts in a season at 139.
Wow.
You know, so can he carry the ball, you know, that many times? You know, you're talking
Slender
10 carries
build,
a game
a
average,
lot.
Right?
Yeah,
bringing and taking hits, you know, taking hits when he doesn't have the ball, when he gives it off, and you still take those hits. And, you know defenses are going to be coming at you and trying to hit you. And, you know, he's really good, though. And I think this offense, you look, he gets in there and they go 6-1 as a starter, and he didn't even have first-team reps before he became the starting quarterback. You know, and they changed an entire offense when he became the starter, so it was all new. Now he's had an entire offseason. He's been able to go through this Greg Roman offense to understand his concepts, to understand what he wants to do. You know, they want to hit big chunk plays, and so I expect, and we haven't even had meetings yet, but this is just me watching film. I mean, I expect Miami to go man, you know, try to man up on those receivers and bring as many as they can up at the line. And I did the Chargers game last year when they beat the Ravens, and you know, they went and they brought 7 DBs in the game at a time just to have a ton of speed and to run to the ball. You know, but it's hard. It's hard for teams to do that because you don't have DBs that can play as linebackers. And so it'll be interesting to see how teams respond to this offense. But I think Lamar Jackson is going to be a breakout star this year. I think he's going to be one of the top quarterbacks in the league.
Yeah, he's going to be fun to watch. Great coaching by Baltimore. Jay, great having you on,
thanks,
man. Really
Jay.
Appreciate finding time for us today. You've been a great friend of the show, and we really, really appreciate it, man. Thank you.
You know I love Miami. I got to go to Sardelli's to have dinner last night.
Yep.
And be back here.
Went to all your places,
right,
man.
Right.
You're Absolutely. The best.
Good to talk to you
Thanks,
guys.
Thanks, Jay. All right, Jay Feely,
look
join us. Get be on the CBS Sports call, part of the team Sunday with the Ravens and the Dolphins. We got a lot more. Don Bailey Jr. is going to join us in a couple of minutes.
Big game coming
They're
up.
On their way. Right. It's tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night.
North Carolina, big upset over South Carolina. Young quarterback. What's going to happen in this one? Can we get Jaren Williams going? Can we get him throwing the ball down the field to those explosive receivers? Can we get Jeff Thomas going?
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, let's get right to it. Go to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline right now. Don Bailey Jr. joins us. He'll be on the call Saturday night. University of Miami and University of North Carolina in a football match.
We're a little screwed up today, Don. We're late. We're sorry we got to you late today. We're
it's
really
all Joe's fault.
We got no idea what's going on here at this radio station right now. It's a disaster. But anyway, hey, listen. Let's not forget what's going on here. Let's talk about bouncing back against North Carolina, who got a great win against South Carolina. I think a lot of Canes fans able to watch that game. How do we get Jaren Williams going this week and get the wide receivers more involved and the big play back in this offense?
Well, I think you get Jaren going, Joe, first of all, by starting with some completions. I think that's always important because we got to remember now he's still young. He's only got one start under his belt. So I think you can hit him with give him as many opportunities as you can to throw the easy pass early. And then take advantage of what he learned, I hope, these last 2 weeks in practice about, you know, looking downfield and looking for the the open guy. And I think that there were some missed opportunities against Florida that has been rehashed time and time again the last couple of weeks. And, you know, you hope he keeps learning because he needs to, you know. And, I mean, that's a part of the deal. While I think everybody would say that he did a good job against Florida, they didn't win the football game. And I think at the end of the day, that's how we're all judged.
Enos came out after the game and pointed out all the faults, everything that happened with Jaren Williams and why they didn't win the game. Was that that's something you don't see every day when the offensive coordinator comes out and rips a kind of freshman quarterback?
I don't know about ripped. Do you think
he ripped him a little bit? Yeah, he did rip him a little bit.
No, I don't know. I mean, I have to agree with you. I don't know you ain't been ripped if that was a ripping.
He hasn't played for Kush or for Shula for sure.
Well, dude played one game and his offensive coordinator came afterwards and ripped him.
Frank Kush made Don Shula look like a day at church, man.
You know, I played for him, Joe.
That's why I brought up my boy's bracelet and booze and all those other Cal Berkeley potheads that you played with me, man. I know, man. All my boys over there.
I did have fun with them guys now. They knew how to have a party.
Oh, God. Speaking of where the dysfunction came from, part of those guys – introduced, I think, to magic mushrooms or something back then. I don't know what the hell it was. Hey, Don, let's talk about some of the other guys here before we get going on what happened in the 80s. Should stay in the 80s. But defensively, they were pretty damn good. That's got to be the key to this game too, right? The defense getting after their young quarterback.
You know, Joe, I think this game for sure, but for the year. I mean, Miami's going to continue to lean on their defense for – forever, I hope. But this week, you know, Miami's facing a guy that is a true freshman. Now, I watched him pretty close this last week, and he's a tough guy now. He's not going to back down. He's going to try and run through you. And he made, at the end of the day, in the fourth quarter, he scored 15 points, came from behind, and he was the winning pitcher. And it was impressive of how he handled it, but he took some shots. And I'm sure he was talked to about that on how to get down maybe. But if he goes at those linebackers Miami's got and goes at that defense with the same way that he went against South Carolina, it might be a long afternoon for him. But he's definitely a talented kid.
Man, he talked about bad tackling after the game. I'm assuming they worked on that a lot in these last 10 days or so going up for this UNC game.
You know, I talked to Blake Baker, the defensive coordinator, and, you know, he's been with Manny for many years, and it bothered them. You know, it really did. It bothered them that Miami didn't tackle that well. I don't think they expected that because, you know, Manny Diaz defense is that whole staff, and they spend individual period after individual period on tackling drills throughout the year, throughout the spring. And for these guys to come in and not tackle the way that is the Miami standard, I think they were a little disappointed on it. So they spent a little extra time on it this past couple weeks. And I'm grateful that they had an off week because I think everybody needed it and everybody needed to go back to training camp and go back and figure out what you got to get better at.
The true freshman tackles, that was good experience for them. I'm curious to see how they bounce back in obvious passing situations for pass protection. What do you expect this week from them, Don? What have they worked on the most?
The good news is that the defensive guys for North Carolina are not as good as the guys from Florida. I mean, that's good news. I expect their defensive coordinator, Jay Bateman, I expect him to attack those two spots, you know, to attack those guys, you know, all game long because he saw the success that Florida had. And you know this as well as anybody, Joe, because you had to do it. You got to get in there as a tight end and help those guys. You got to chip away whenever you can. But right. At some point, if you're going to make a big play and not go max protection all the time, these guys got to, you know, hold their own spot and accomplish the mission, so to speak. And I think they're getting better at it. I was down there a couple times this past week and Monday especially. And they're working on the technique constantly. And, you know, Butch Berry, their offensive line coach, came from the NFL, so he's a great technician. But people forget, and, you know, I use this analogy, I think, during the game, when you're a true freshman and you're 18 years old and you're going against a senior who's 21 or redshirt who's 22, that's a big difference in maturity, a big difference in strength. And it's hard to catch up 4 years in 2 weeks. So
they're going to struggle a little bit. I think they're going to struggle, you know, probably throughout the whole year, you know, at certain spots. But they are getting better, and they got to get better.
I'll say one thing, and I think Zach agrees. Jaren Williams got a chance for once where you look and you go, damn. I know he didn't look down the field. I know pocket aware. He got a chance to be pretty damn good when he throws that football. Right. It was pretty darn accurate.
Joe, you know, when you think, if you just think of this for a minute. I mean, I don't know if we hit, is it two times or three times last year Miami completed over 65%? That for the year, you know, you go back, I think it was only twice that happened. Wow. He did it in his first game, number one. And there would have been a parade for this kid if Thomas would have caught that ball in the end zone to win the game.
You're right.
You're right. You think of like how close that thing was to be anointed the next great quarterback here at the University of Miami, and that ball was catchable.
Oh no, that was the best throw he made. That was the best throw he made in the game. That was great.
That was at the end with everything at stake for all the money, and that kid hits the bullseye and they drop it.
Well, we got to get that other guy going too, so we're not taking shots at anybody. We need to get that speed cat going. We want him to feel good about himself this week. Is he a bounce back kid, or is he a guy that lets stuff bother him? What do we think?
No comment.
Okay, that's not good.
I think
that's honest.
Wow.
I'm going to pat him on the back. Anybody to see Jeff Thomas, patting him on the back and tell him you love him and you're the man.
No. Listen, I mean, here's the thing. He has to come back and do this, right? I mean, this is not a time in his career. A time of the season where you got to let something like that, you know, stay with you. If anything, it needs to motivate him. If anything, he's got to say to himself, I'm never dropping another punt the rest of my life. If I get a chance to win a football game, I'm going to win it next time. So you got to get past that. I mean, if he can't get past this, it's going to be a long career.
Don Bailey Jr., have a great call on Saturday night with Joe Zagacki up in North Carolina. Hopefully you come back with a win, and they're 1-1 and not 0-2 for Manny on Monday morning.
This is coastal. This is a big stuff
this
right here.
This is a big one.
Thanks, DBJ.
All right, guys. Talk to you next Friday.
All right Don Bailey. I hit him with his old Colts teams. He goes, you know, I played with those guys. I go, yeah, that's why I said it.
You got him.
I got him. Yeah. He's like, oh, that's right.
A couple more minutes in that interview, we would have been all the way in the 80s. We've been all over the
place. I was ready to go back. I know. Man, I miss those guys.
I know. Good call by you.
Fun-loving, dysfunctional dudes. Right. And still dysfunctional back at Cal. How you doing? Ah, man, I'm single again. Man. No, come on, man.
All your boys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.